See the title of the message today, We End, We Begin. And for those who think that when, Nathan, that might be just a little loud. Those who think that when we get to that point where the kingdom is consummated, that it's over, oh no, far from that. That is when we begin. God says, it is done above this. He says, it's done. What he means by that, what's done? He said, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. That's what he means is done. He will then permeate and suffuse everything on earth. That's what's done. And then the story begins. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And today, you don't have to wonder anymore what heaven is like. You can leave all that ambiguity away. Put it beside, because today we're going to see exactly what heaven is like now as well as then in the future. Where we live on Black Locust Farm, down in the woods, on the side of the bank. When we first moved there, I would take my dog on a walk down in the woods, Jack. Jack's 14 years old. So it was 14 years ago when he was just a puppy. And when I walked down there in the woods, I saw something. Maybe you've heard this story before. I saw something about the size of this lectern right here, corner. Just about this size, from here to here. And I would walk by that, and I would notice it. I would just look at it, and I would say, well, that's a stone. But you know, every time I would walk by there, something would whisper to me. There's something else. There's more here. And I ignored that whisper for years. And finally, one day, I walked over to that exposed corner, which I thought was just a single stone. There was a dead red elm tree lying across it. There was vegetation growing everywhere. And I started to just clear a little bit away, take some of the rubble, move some of the stones, started taking the vegetation away, got my chainsaw out, cut the dead red elm tree out of the way, pulled it off with my tractor. Something was compelling me to do this because of that whisper. There's something else. There's more. And when I cleared away, I saw what I hadn't seen before. A foundation started to take shape. Old chiseled, hand-chiseled sandstones started showing me the shape of an old foundation of a house, cabin really. And then I started to see the shape and the foundation of a fireplace, huge, massive fireplace. I saw what I didn't see before, and I saw it because I paid attention to that tug, that whisper. And what I was able to see eventually, I saw the past right there on Black Locust Farm on the side of our bank. I saw the past. I saw what had been there. And as I thought about it and I studied, and over the years I've reconstructed and with the help of Gerald, actually, got his backhoe down there, and Jason and Keith also were involved. I've reconstructed that foundation. And then I realized I didn't just see the past. I saw the past actually in operation. It was powerful. I actually saw in my mind, being in that place, what had been going on there. And we found shards of old china. And in fact, Nathan and Ellen came down and helped with this. They did some excavation there at that site for us. We found old dishes and pottery and so forth. I saw the past actually in operation there. It was opened up to me. Now, why am I telling that story? What we're seeing here in Revelation, in John's revelation, we're seeing the heavenly realm opened up to us. And when John does this for us, you are able to see, and I am able to see and to hear. We're actually hearing what we couldn't see or hear before. What are we seeing and hearing here in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22? We're seeing God's future in operation. We're seeing it not just static, like a picture on a wall. We're seeing a movie. This is fascinating if you unpack these chapters. It's mind-boggling what is here. We're seeing God's future and his power and his rule actually working and operating and what it's going to be like and in fact, what it is like now. We're seeing, remember Jesus' prayer? Ever and always refer back to what we call the Lord's Prayer. That is so powerful and profound because this is what we're seeing. Jesus prayed. He said, I want your name to be honored as holy. And I want your kingdom to come. And I want your will to be done. And I want all three of those things to be done where? On earth. Like it presently is being done in heaven. You know what we're seeing here? We're seeing Jesus' prayer answered. We're seeing the honoring of God's name. We're seeing the extension of his kingly rule, and we're seeing the doing of his will in operation on this earth, and we're seeing it just like it is presently being done in heaven. And do you know what we find out? Now, I don't know about you. I want you to examine your life. And here's why I am a big proponent of spiritual disciplines. I am a big proponent of solitude, silence, and study. And I'll tell you why. Because the only way I was drawn to clear away the clutter and examine and get into that foundation in my woods was because I had no other distractions when I was down there. That's one of the great things about I'm blessed to live where I live. I'm able to go into a place where there's no distractions. That's why I'm encouraging you to do solitude, silence, and study. You know the enemy's three greatest tools, right? Hurry, noise, crowds. Do you know why? Because you'll never hear that whisper from that still, small voice of the Spirit of God that whispers at us. And here's what that whisper says to us, and you know this too. There's something else. There's something more to life. And what that moreness is that a word, Teresa? If what that moreness is, it is, here's what it is. Here's what the whisper tells us. The moreness to life is God's name being honored, his kingdom ruling, and his will being done instead of. Now, here's what the world tells us. Whose name should be honored according to the world? Mine. Right? Whose kingdom should extend according to the world? Mine. And whose will should be done? Mine. Because the world tells us and screams at us, that's genuine life. That's how you experience, grab all the gusto you can because you only go around once, that kind of that philosophy. And the whisper that we hear, I want you to pay attention. You want to experience genuine humanity? The whisper that we hear that pulls at us is, if God's name is honored as holy, if his kingdom rules in your life, and if his will is done in your life, you will experience life on a level you never thought possible before. That's the whisper. That's what pulls at us. And if we're constantly in a state of stuff coming into our minds, hurry, noise, and crowds, you don't hear that whisper. What did Jesus say when they said, how do we pray? He said, what's the first thing he told people to do? Go into your closet and shut the door. That is so significant. I go into my study and I shut the door, and I have, again, been blessed with the ability to have a room sequestered and segregated for that kind of thing. That's when you hear the whisper. That's when you're drawn to just feeling around the edges, maybe, of a different way to live. That's what we see here in John's revelation. I'm fascinated by this study because I was living with the text this week, and I realized all of a sudden, the Spirit said to me, you're seeing God's future in operation. Let's unpack this together. If you have a Bible, as Teresa said, and this is, I told Carolyn, don't put it all in the back of the devotional because it's too much. So if you have a Bible, let's go through this together. Verse 9. John. What would it be like to have been in John's sandals? He's 80 plus years old when this happens. And he's just heard from the throne. Remember, in the beginning of chapter 2, he sees what he describes as the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven, he says, from God, adorned like a bride for her husband. And then he spins off. I can see John like standing there like just listening to this voice coming from the throne. And the voice says, it's done. I'm the beginning. I'm the end and the beginning. And he says, I'm going to wipe away every tear. And John, I can imagine just being transfixed by this whole thing. And here's what happens. One of the seven angels comes up behind John, as it were, and like taps him on the shoulder. And it gets his attention again. And he says, John, the angel says, John, I need you to focus in here for a minute. Because I want you to show you this bride. And I need to explain some things to you. And then I want you to see a very important nuance in verse 9. Do you see a very important change, a shift in verse 9 that we've never seen before? He says, come, I'll show you the bride. Oh, now wait a minute. It's now the wife. Something's changed. Remember John saw the new Jerusalem, and it was like a bride, he said, coming down the aisle to meet her husband. Still a bride. Now something's happened. What's happened? The marriage has taken place. It's been consummated. It's no longer the bride that John's going to see. Now John is going to see this consummation. He's going to see the wife. You see what's happened here? The dimensions have come back together. That divorce, remember we talked about the great divorce in Genesis at the end of chapter 3? The earthly realm and the heavenly realm divorced. And all through the rest of Scripture, God is wooing this bride and trying to draw the bride. He says, I'll even take you into the wilderness and I'll speak to you tenderly. And here we see that marriage that God has been yearning for and that Jesus prayed for. It's consummated. The marriage happens, and the bride has now come all the way up the aisle. By the way, we're in some stage of that coming up the aisle-ness right now in history. May it be that the bride is standing here at this first pew, Amen? Because when the bride gets here and the marriage occurs, no longer is it a bride, it's a wife. And the angel says, now watch this. The marriage has taken place. It's consummated. And the angel then takes John in this vision. And John says, I don't know what happened. It's like, I guess he took me in the spirit. Because the next thing I knew, I'm on this massively high mountain. And I have to go to this massively high mountain. And you'll understand in a minute why that is necessary. Because I needed a vantage point where I could see everything that was taking place. You want to see heaven? My theology has changed on this by reading and living with this passage about heavenly realm. We are seeing the totality, the entirety of heaven right here described to us. And it's coming. John says, I was on this mountain and I saw this new Jerusalem, this holy city, coming down out of the heavenly realm from God. And look what makes it holy. What makes that city holy? Arrayed with all of God's glory. It's holy. It's different. We see heaven actually invade earth. Now, before we get into the description of this city, let's just look at what he says. Her radiance was like a very precious stone, like a jasper stone, bright as crystal. Now we're going to get into specifics of what the city looks like, but I want you to know this. If this is what a city looks like when it is adorned with all of God's glory, and that's what makes it holy, and you heard Teresa read the description of this city, I want you to extrapolate out from there, if you dare. This is threatening. Teresa and I used to live in Chicago. That's a fantastic city. And I thought of that city, Chicago, adorned with human glory. And then I compared it to a city adorned with God's glory. You see the difference here? Extrapolate out. If this is what a city looks like that is holy and adorned with God's glory, what will geography look like? What will a tree look like? What will a meadow look like? What will my woods look like and my creek? Because I'm seeing geography and I'm seeing the planet, and you are too, that is not holy, that is not adorned with God's glory. Do you see where I'm going here? Go one step further. What will a human being look like adorned with God's glory? Jesus is resurrected and he walks among his friends and family and they don't even recognize him. Why? They'd never seen a human body adorned with God's glory. Holy. I am exceedingly impatient to look out upon this vista right here, this valley, Possum Run Road. I can't wait to see what that looks like when it's adorned with God's glory. We can't imagine. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. It's never even entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Would you ever think a city could possibly look like this? What is our vision of a city? We know what that is. Here's a real city. And what's the difference? It's holy. It's adorned with God's glory. Human bodies, our physicality, we don't even know what that's going to be like. One of my favorite artists Anya. And Nathan's going to play one of her songs today as the first song of the postlude. She wrote a song called Caribbean Blue. I didn't really know what that song was about, but I do remember this about that song. I remember Timmy sitting in his room with the door shut, and I remember him listening to this song over and over when he was ill. After he died, I started dissecting that song. And that song is about the renewed creation and what it's going to be like. Have you ever seen the sky, Caribbean blue? The answer is no. We see a blue. Anya says there's going to be a day when God's glory is going to adorn the sky, and when you look up, it's going to be, our best description is Caribbean blue. She says in that song, if all you were told turned to gold, if all of your dreams came true, then imagine looking at the sky and seeing Caribbean blue. See, what she's saying is, when the holy city invades earth and the cities are glorified with God's honor and the planet is glorified with God's honor and our bodies are glorified with God's honor, it will be a totally new experience. I have never laid eyes, and neither have you, on a genuine city. I see the parody. I see Chicago. I see New York. I see Paris. I see Rome. Those are parodies. You understand? That's the best we can do. That's the height of human glory. And God is like, what's the verse? Men plan, God laughs. It's like God says, you think that's a city? I'm going to show you a city. You think that's a human body? Watch this. You think that that is a meadow and a pasture? You haven't seen anything yet. We have never laid eyes on a genuine city or a genuine planet or a genuine human being. We will. We're going to. And when we do, we will, like Anya, say, everything we were told turned to gold, and all of our dreams came true. And when I look at the sky, now I see it's Caribbean blue. Let's look at this. Verse 12. The city had a massive high wall. We're looking at the physical description of heaven. Heaven. The heavenly realm. And you're going to say, well, Tim, John says it came down out of heaven, so therefore it is a million miles up in the sky. You were wrong. The heavenly realm isn't right here. Yes, it was. Here's what's happening here. Star Trek. Star Trek. The Romulans had this deal going. I think it was. Was it Nathan or the Klingons? They could do this cloaking thing. What was it? The Romulans. They did this cloaking thing on their ships. And the Enterprise could be right here, and the Romulans could have a ship right there on the road, but they had this cloaking. And the Enterprise couldn't pick them up on any scanners, and they couldn't see it. And all of a sudden, they're there watching their screen. The Romulans decloak. And it's there, and they say, that ship was there all along. Like Jacob, God was in this place all along, only I didn't know it. That's what's happening here. This city is being decloaked. Isn't that fascinating? The dimension of the heavenly realm that is, was, opaque to us because there's a curtain hanging between us and visualization of this city is removed. And John sees the decloaking, and he says, it looks like a city was coming out of the heavenly realm. Look at this city. You want to see a city, God says? Watch this. The city had a massive high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels were on the gates, and names were inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Do you know your history? God's people, we need to know the history of Israel, because we will never get it right unless we do. I'm going to encourage you to do that during your solitude, silence, and study time. There's another assignment Tim's given you. If you know anything about the 12 tribes of Israel, and you know some of those rascals who were the sons of Jacob, you know much about Judah? Reuben? You know what kind of men they were? What does this teach us? What does this teach me about my life and your life? There's nothing. The fact that these men get their names inscribed on these gates, regardless of what they did, that we look at as highly abnormal, God can use that. There's nothing in your history that cannot be redeemed. Remember what God said? I'm making all things new. I'm changing the game. And those things in the past of these sons of Israel that we can read in the Old Testament, and some of them are pretty horrific, and yet God says, that doesn't move me, because I control history, and I manipulate history for my purposes, and I'm going to redeem and take those things. That's the first lesson we learned here, because he takes those names and he inscribes them on the gates. There were three gates on each side. Three on the east, three on the west, three on the north, three on the south. The city wall had 12 foundations. 12. And on them, more names. On each layer of the foundation is a name of one of the apostles. And the foundation is visible. Completely visible. Not only the wall that is above this foundation, but the foundation itself is completely visible. Now, the angel who got John's attention by tapping him on the shoulder, the angel spoke to me. He had a gold measuring rod to measure the city. I want you to get around this measurement. Its gates and its wall are going to be measured. The city is laid out in a square. Its length and its width are equal. He measured the city with a rod, and it was 12,000 stadia. Its length, width, and height are equal. Did you see that? Its length, its width, its height are equal. What is 12,000 stadia? Well, if one side of this city is 12,000 stadia, for your information, that is 1,400 miles. You know how far that is? You know the distance from Virginia Beach to San Jose, California? About 2,900 miles, approximately. I want you to visualize a city. Now, like I said, we've never seen a city. Visualize a city that reaches from the eastern seaboard and that goes west of the Mississippi River. Do you know how long it takes just to drive that distance? Not only that, it's 1,400 miles wide. Not only that, it's 1,400 miles high. We're seeing the totality of the heavenly realm that God has, as it were, concentrated inside this massive, brilliant city. that is decloaking in front of John's eyes, and he's seeing it on earth, by the way, on earth. Heaven is coming here, and it's coming here to stay. And this city is what earth gets in the deal. This city is what comes to the earth and transforms it. It's a cube. Do you know how many cubic miles that is? Tad, you're a math teacher. Go. Well, I'll tell you, you can figure it up later. It's 3,250,000 cubic miles. You know what a cubic mile is? A mile, a mile, a mile, a mile. It's a cube, and it's a mile in every direction. Now, you put 3,225,000 cubic miles together. That's the totality of this city. Massive. Unimaginable. Totally organized. Everything fits. Nothing's awkward. Then he measured its wall, sitting on top of these 12 foundation stones. Can you just not get a hold of this and visualize this? I'm going to invite you to do something this week. Live with this text. Are you tired of dealing with the nonsense that the parody gives us every day? The parody of life, the parody of cities, the parody of geography, the parody of government. You can have an apocalyptic moment by visiting and living with this passage, because this is where we're going. And he measures the wall. It's 144 cubits, according to human measurement, which the angel used. Now, what's that? It's 216 feet high, the wall. 216 feet high. The city then within the wall is 1,400 miles up. That's beyond me. Can't get around it. The building material of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. What a sight this must have been for John. And like Teresa said, he tries to write it as best he can to explain this, but he's at the borders of language. He can't really put down pen to paper what he's seeing. He just has to use human terms to try and describe this city adorned with God's glory and holy. And this is what God's glory and his holiness does to things. It transforms them. The foundations of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. Teresa read these and she did a good job of the 12 different stones. I will not attempt to do that, but here's the point of this. Here's the point. Our human eye can see there are 7 bands of light, right? 7 bands. Of those 7 bands, our human eye can distinguish about 100 different variations in color. About 100. Fasten your seatbelts. We've got a foundation here that refracts and reflects light in ways we've never seen. The refractory and reflective power of these 12 stones is 1,000,000 to the 10th power. We see about 100 now. 1,000,000 to the 10th power are the different colors that we are going to see. Why? Because the light from inside the city, you see, will come out through these foundation stones that are precious jewels and crystals, and every one of them will refract the light in a different way. How do you describe a color you've never seen before? And John can't. The closest he can come is he says, it looked like, I remember seeing a crystal once, and I remember how it reflected light, and that's the best I could do, but I'm seeing colors that are just bouncing off of this and reflecting and refracting. I can't even begin to write it down. Why? Because it's 10, a million to the power of 10. Different hues of color that this kind of crystals would refract and reflect to our retinas. That's exciting to me. This is color adorned with God's glory. You see, we've never seen this planet in its genuine form as God intended. We will this day. You know where Isaiah says, when this happens, the past events won't be remembered or even come to mind? Do you get it now? Do you understand why that would be true? Who is going to be like Shakespeare said? It'll seem like an old tale vexing the dull ear of a drowsy man. And it will. Because we will be so like John, caught up in this million to the 10th power colors, that someone will say, yeah, but do you remember what happened back there on earth? You're going to say, like Stephen, they're stoning him to death. And he says, I see the glory of God. That's why those past events won't be remembered or even come to mind. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made of a single pearl. Do you know what size the pearls are we see today? You see what's happening here? You see what God's glory does to the physical universe? A pearl, one pearl, is a gate. The broad street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Wow. This is a city. And we'll end here, because I don't want to get into the God's rule and operation and have to truncate it and make it short. We're going to go into this next week. But you see, allow time in your life for the Spirit to whisper, there's something else, there's something more. Let's pray. Lord and Master, bless these words. Anoint it with your Spirit. Amen.